I'm Leah Hobson, and I'm from the Australian Federation of Disability Organisations, where I'm the National Policy Officer.
You've come all the way to Kalgoorlie with your guide dog to hold a workshop.
Yes, that's right. It's been quite the adventure for myself and Ellie. We came from Melbourne, so we flew to Perth and then we've come to Kalgoorlie to talk about disability care and support for people with disabilities.
And I understand that part of the topic is to do with this Productivity Commission report, which has recommended a national insurance scheme for disability. What have you discussed today?
We've been talking about the Productivity Commission's draft report into a national disability care and support scheme, or otherwise known as a national disability insurance scheme. The Productivity Commission's been asked by the federal government to do some research into what needs to be done to make things for people with disability better, because currently the system is really just not working. It's underfunded. If you go from state to state, you get very, very different levels of service. If you're in the country, like being somewhere like Kalgoorlie, it's very different to being in a city where you actually have access to services. So we've been talking about the model that the Productivity Commission has proposed, which includes doubling funding for disability across the country, and allowing people with disability to sometimes cash out their supports and make their own choices about what kind of support they get and who they pay to give them that support. And we've been discussing, you know, the issues about how those things would work.
How much would a scheme like this cost everyone?
Well, at the moment, the government across Australia spend $6.3 billion on disability care and support. It's a lot of money in it already. So they're looking at doubling that to $12 billion. But although that sounds like a very high cost, it's actually about reducing costs in some areas. So for instance, a lot of people with disability need home modifications when they first acquire a disability. They might need a ramp at their front door, for instance, in order to be able to go home if they've just become disabled enough to need a wheelchair. But they're left in hospital, which is much more expensive than putting a ramp in at the front of their house, because the health system has money, but the disability system doesn't. It's also, you know, that if you provide supports for people with disability to allow them to engage and participate in society, then more people with disability become employed. And so there's less of a cost for pensions. More people with disability are happier and healthier, and those are lower costs for the community as well.
What have you heard from people that have come to the forum today in Kalgoorlie?
I think there's a lot of enthusiasm for the potential new system, but there are also still a lot of questions to be answered about, you know, how it's going to work on the ground for people with disability, and particularly in rural and regional areas. There's a whole range of supports that people in country areas simply don't get because of their location, and obviously people are keen to see that changed.
Vicky Gill is one of the community members at the Kalgoorlie meeting today to talk about her experience. She's the mother of two children with disabilities.
They were children once, but they're now adults with disability. My eldest is profoundly deaf, and our son has autism with Tourette's syndrome. He's 22.
The forum today was to talk about national disability insurance and also, I suppose, the particular issues for people in the goldfields. What did you want to bring up?
I'd like to bring up the actual individual support that we are requiring for those we care for with disabilities, and the lack of support that is out there at the moment. And we'd like to see the changes take place to benefit them in the long run.
How much have you struggled over the past 20 years to get services?
Well, I've actually received none at all. I've completely raised both our children by myself with very limited support. So
that's tough.
It has been. So I might be slipped through the system, and it might be too late for me personally now, but I'd like to think that I'm actually out there pushing for these changes for families in isolated and rural communities to get the support that they need if they have children with disabilities.
Does that make it even harder when you're outside of a capital city?
Oh, definitely. Absolutely. You once you're past Greenmount, you don't receive anything, which is unfortunate because I've contacted the Deaf Society and the Autistic Society in Perth and told that I'm not eligible for any services because I'm in regional WA. Yes, I'd like to actually see a register set in place, like with local councils, so that these families can be located and identified, like actually in their communities, for government funding programs and services and entitlements, and always available to them, including entitlements from Centrelink and local support groups.
So the government knows where you are and knows that you need some help?
Well, that's correct, yes, too, because a lot of families, I'm still coming across young families with children, with younger children with disabilities, and they don't know what's available to them, which is, in these times of technology, I find unbelievable.
Do you feel positive about what you've heard today?
Yes, definitely. I think that everybody should come on board, even those who don't have family members with disabilities, all those who may be able to have some form of support towards this system, come on board and push for the changes for these families because it's really, really needed.